Good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. Okay. This morning, I'd like to talk about some things that, again, have been kind of on my heart for a little while. As I talk to people, that sounds weird. As I speak to people as I go along and just fellowshipping with other believers and friends and even some people I don't know that well. There seems to be kind of a common theme going through a lot of people's hearts, a lot of minds. There seems to be some struggle with hearing God's voice, knowing direction, knowing, what am I doing here? How come I can't really figure out what God's trying to say to me? I'm not here to tell you what he's saying to you because I'm not God. But hopefully when we go through here, we can give you some ideas of how to seek him, how to listen to him. Is there anything that interferes with that? Who are we? What did Jesus actually leave us with when he left this earth? Okay, he's up there in heaven. He's not down here anymore dealing with all this stuff in his flesh. He left us here to do that. So what did he leave us with? What tools did he leave us with to deal with this stuff? Is there anything we can do? Is there anything we can, put into our lives to help us? So I'd like to start with a scripture. I got it here somewhere. In John chapter 14 and verse 27. In this particular piece of scripture, Jesus is talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit, what he's going to leave us with to help us get through this life, to help us hear from God, to understand our direction here on earth, what our ministries or what we do, even in our workplace, or if we're in school, or whatever the case may be, he said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit, and he'll lead you in everything that you do. He will show you, he will talk to you, he will tell you what the Father is saying to you. So in this verse 27 of chapter 14, he says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you, I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I am going to the Father who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me. But I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. Verse 27 says, he left us with a gift. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift of peace of mind and peace of heart. And I find that if you go out into the world, out into, your workplace, go into your schools, wherever it is you spend your time, whatever it is you're doing, with people, whether they're believers or not, we don't see much peace of mind and peace of heart. We see people searching and searching and searching for these things. And within the church, within the body of believers, I find this is a prevalent thing, that people are unsettled. They're not sure why they're unsettled. The biggest question, I don't understand. I understand. I read about the peace of God. I understand about the freedom. But why don't I feel that? Why am I troubled? Why don't I have peace of mind and peace of heart? This gift that Jesus gave to us. So I'd like to go into a little bit of a study here on a few things that the Lord was speaking with me this morning as I was trying to figure out where I'm going. So in the book of John, again, we'll turn over to the chapter 16, and in starting in verse 5, I'll read a few verses here. And this is Jesus, he's kind of trying to teach about what the Holy Spirit is, or what its purpose is. So he says, "But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking me where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me." So part of the job of the Holy Spirit is to convict those who do not know Christ or believe in him of that. He says that is the sin. They don't believe in me. So we can go out into the world and we can convict people of all kinds of things. We could tell them they're not doing this right, not doing that right, or all sorts of things that's going on. There may be murderers, liars, whatever the case may be. But their sin is, God doesn't see that. He says their sin is they don't believe in my son who I sent. That is their sin. Paul even says that in his teachings in Corinthians, I believe he says, as believers, we have no business judging outsiders, people who do not believe. He says it makes no difference if they're doing right or wrong. Their sin is they don't believe in the son that I sent to die for their sins. So he says that's part of the Holy Spirit's job, convict of sin. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because a ruler of this world has already been judged. He says righteousness is now available because I'll send the Holy Spirit to you to teach you, to lead you into God's righteousness. Okay, it may not look the same as what we think of righteousness, but God's idea of righteousness can be revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. And he says judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. The Holy Spirit could bring judgment. He can warn us, he can tell us, he can, whatever the case may be, there's different types of judgment. Okay? As believers, our judgment, if we're judging something, it should always be to bring life to somebody. Somebody is struggling with something and we understand that maybe it's something that they're doing or a way that they're living that is causing this strife in their life. It is harmful for them. There's two ways that you can go about that. You can go and say, you know, if you don't quit this, you know, God's going to bring his judgment down on you, and that's it for you. And that'll probably be it for them because, you know, what kind of encouragement is that? Or we can bring the love of God into the situation and say, you know, brother, sister, whatever it may be, I understand you're struggling, but here is a way that we can help you. Not chasing people away, but drawing them closer to God so that they will understand his love. And again, I'm going to go a little bit quickly here through some of these because I don't want to be too long here. So let's go to 2 Thessalonians, to some teachings of Paul, chapter 13. So how do we know if the Holy Spirit's working in us? So is there anything that we can do to just, you know, when you go to a doctor or someone, while your car, there's something wrong with your car, you take the mechanic and they do a whole bunch of diagnosis and come up with a reason why you're sick or a reason why your car is not working, and then they can hopefully apply the cure to it. But if we just kind of, you know, if we go to a doctor and say, you know, I've got this symptom, and he says, okay, just a minute, goes into the back room and brings out this big box of drugs and says, well, if you take all of these, one of these is going to cure you because so those symptoms fall in this category right here. So take all these and you should be cured. Now, you might be killed too because some of those drugs might not be that good for you. Okay, so we need to know some specifics. We need to know what's going on. I know I'm not happy. I know I'm struggling. I know I'm not hearing God's voice. I'm not getting direction. I feel unsettled. There could be a million reasons for that. But the Holy Spirit is able to pinpoint that. Okay, now I forgot to look for the scripture while I was talking. Okay. So, I can't find it. You may notice that I'm a little bit out of sorts here because I'm just trying to follow the Lord leading here. Here we go. 2 Thessalonians 13. I'll just read what I have here. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. So what Paul is teaching here, if I had the right scripture, I'd tell you where it was, but luckily I wrote it down. What Paul is telling us here is that we can examine ourselves. We can lift up what we're going through. We can lift up the fruit of our life and let that tell us what our health is. Is it the fruit of the Spirit? Is it the fruit of the flesh? What is causing me to not have the peace of mind and peace of heart that Jesus has promised? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. So let's go through a few things that Paul talks about that affect us in our walk. So verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience with your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. Okay, there's something we need to understand. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. Okay? So what Jesus said, I promise you peace, peace of mind and peace of heart. He said, it's not, the world cannot give you this. So if we are looking places other than Jesus, the Holy Spirit, our Father in heaven, for peace of mind and peace of heart, we will not find it. Because Jesus said, the world cannot give you that because it is ruled by the devil himself. Because he said, for a time I am going to turn it over to him. Okay? He is the Spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. But our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead, because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he is raised from the dead along with Christ and seated and has seated us with him in heavenly realms. Okay, another important thing. Jesus said, not only did he die and raise us from the dead along with him, but he has placed us alongside of him in heavenly realms. We need to understand that heaven does not begin when I die or when Jesus comes back. You know, it's not the great yonder. Heaven is now. It is as we sit here and live and breathe, we are in the kingdom of heaven and we have access to all the power and the glory that it has. Jesus said, everything that I have done here on earth through the will of my Father, all the everything that he did. He says, I leave for you to do. In fact, he says, you will do even greater things than I. Why did he say that? Are we going to be greater than Jesus? He said that because of the multitude of his body. If we work in unity, we will be able to perform much more than he was as one man. Okay, so we want to change. Our inheritance is now. We don't have to wait. We will not be, we're still living in our fleshy bodies, our sinful bodies. That's why we struggle. But there will be a time when that will be over as well. But right now, we are already seated with Christ in the heavenly place. So God can point to us in all future ages examples of incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, shown in all he has done for us who are united in Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. If we are God's masterpiece, he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things planned for us long ago. If you read through the Bible, so you take the New Testament and read from Matthew right to Revelation, sometimes it seems completely contradictory. If you read the book of Romans, a lot of people don't like to reread Romans because it's confusing. Because Paul begins to teach about the grace of God. He teaches that we are no longer bound to the law. He teaches that we are free to do anything. He teaches that we are no longer bound by the law. The law has nothing to do with this. He sounds like he's saying, we can live any way we want to, no problem. And we can. That's the beauty of God. We can do anything we want. And then, in the next part of the same chapter, he will start to say, but don't do this. Don't live like that. Don't do this. Don't live like that. And he said, well, what are you talking about? It seems like he's talking to both sides of the face. One side he's saying, do whatever you like. Here he's saying, don't. All through the scriptures, it's a contrast. Jesus did the same thing many a times. He came against the Pharisees. He came against the teachers of the law. He came against all those things. And then he did the same thing as Paul. He would say, but don't live like this. He would say, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay. What does that mean? It sounds confusing. The disciples couldn't understand it either. And Jesus said, I'm teaching you all these things so that when the Holy Spirit comes, you will understand what I'm talking about. We cannot understand. He's contrasting. He's saying, yes, you are free from the law. He says, you are completely free from the law because the law is only for sinners. And he says, the law is for those who live like that. It holds up. He says, you were saved by grace. It's like this. There's nothing you can do. It's a free gift. So you come to Christ and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I understand. I believe in what the Son does, or however your relationship with God would cause you to say that. But all he says is you need to believe in me. And he says, once you believe in him, your sin is overcome. Because the sin of the world is unbelief. So once we believe that Christ is who he is, and what he did is true, our sin is overcome. Our sin is forgiven. Our sin, we are set free. And what he is saying now is, you need to have the Holy Spirit to live the life. See, many of us are trying to work out our salvation on our own. We are going, when we struggle, whether it be with relationships, whether it be with finances, whether it be with just finding my place in the kingdom of God, where I fit, we're looking everywhere. Well, a lot of us watch the talk shows, Dr. Phil or whoever these people are. We're trying to get wisdom from that. But if they're coming from the angle, from the world point of view, that just leads to death. It may sound right, it may seem right, and it may even have some truth in it. But Jesus says because of what influence they are under, that's going to lead to death. Instead of going into the Word or asking the Spirit to make things real to us, we're looking at outside influences. Even to leaders in the church, we're expecting them to live our life with us. You're not teaching me enough. We need more, we need more, we need more. But yet what we have, we're not using. And it gets us to a point even where we get upset with what's going on in the church because we feel they're not feeding us in the way they should. And it could be true to a point. But there's only so much that any man can do for you or woman for you. There comes a point where you have to start saying, I need to seek God. Because I can stand up here and hold this up to you and say, do this. And it's just rules. What I need to try to lead you into is say, seek God. Why is he saying what he's saying? I can sit here and tell you the do's and don'ts all day. And for some, it'll just bring condemnation. Because I can't live up to what you're saying. To others, you'll just get up and say, oh, I've tried all that stuff. Don't work. What we have to do is what Paul said, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit says, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So we can go through that list. So that's the fruit of the Spirit. If you have the Spirit alive in you, if Jesus Christ is alive in you, that's the fruit you will have. So my self-diagnosis says, okay, let me read this. Love, no. Joy, no. Peace, no. Patience, no. Kindness, no. Goodness, no. Faithfulness, no. Gentleness, no. Self-control, no. I'm in trouble. Okay, the diagnosis would say there's something missing here. Okay, and I'm not, like all of us experience this from time to time, sometimes more than others. But what he's saying is these are the manifestations of a Christian life. These are the manifestations of the promises of God. These are the manifestations that the Holy Spirit brings to us. So that when I don't think the leadership or this person or whatever is doing their job or feeding people appropriately, instead of getting upset and say, well, I'm not going there no more, anymore, something. I'm not going to that place anymore because they're letting me down and they're letting everybody else down. If we're living under the Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit, we will say, I will fill in. I will take what God is speaking to me and I will start to encourage the people. I will start to teach what God is trying to speak to me. And the things that I see that I'm concerned about, I will ask God to allow me to do that. We're free to do that. We don't need to phone the pastor every time we think we want to go encourage somebody. Or help them, or bring a word of encouragement to ask permission. We are the priests of our home. We are priests in the family of God. So that means we can minister to one another anytime we like. We don't have to wait for those who we think, you know, the hired guns or whatever you want to call them. We don't have to wait for them to go. You know, they should be going to visit those people. They're struggling. Your car broke down. Phone only goes one way. Doesn't calls in but doesn't go out. Why can't you go? Because When we start to think like that, when we start to always put it out and say, you need to do something, we start to receive the fruit of the sinful nature. Fruit of the sinful nature, and this is just what Paul says, okay? I didn't write this down on my own. I copied it out of the Bible. Fruit of the sinful nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness. Okay, we heard the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the sinful nature. You know, we pick out the ones, sexual immorality, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. Those are all ones we like to pick out. But the ones that are most dangerous are the dissension and division. Because when that begins to happen in our heart, Jesus says when we start to hate other Christians, and I know hate is a strong word, but when we start to have problems with other believers because we don't think they're fulfilling something in our lives, he says that the love of God will not be in you. Because he says you cannot say you love God and hate your brother or sister. He says it's impossible. You can't do it. So the diagnosis would be if I hate somebody, if I have unforgiveness for somebody, if I am holding somebody up, the diagnosis would say, you're going to struggle. Because he says the Holy Spirit cannot work in that because God is forgiveness. And he says, the diagnosis, what is the cure? The cure is seek God and the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so many times we are so busy looking around. I know some of this message may sound harsh, and I'm going to bring the good news here soon here. But there are specific things in here that God says it's not that difficult. We struggle because we try to work things out on our own, in our own wisdom and our own minds. Idolatry can be anything. Anything we worship above God. It could be my pain. Somebody did something to me 15 years ago. And that's all I concentrate on. I cannot have a single decent relationship because that comes up every time. What if they do that to me? You don't understand what I'm going through. And you're right, I don't. But that is idolatry. Because now you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to come in to heal you. You're basically worshiping that thing that happened back then. And God says, diagnose yourself. If this is causing you strife and problems with other believers, with your relationship, even your relationship with God, we need to deal with it. We need to be able to let it go and allow Christ to heal us. How do you seek God? I know how I seek God. See, I could sit here and tell you, give you lots and lots of testimony of how God has spoken to me in my life, what I have done. But the problem is you can go do that and copy it and he'll say, well, he's an idiot. That doesn't work. No. It doesn't work for me. What's he talking about? Because you are not me. We need to find out what has reign in our spirit. If you're walking down the street and you begin to sing. Now, for some of us, that could be a little scary, but if we begin to sing. What song comes out of your mouth? Is it a song of uplifting, of joy, of praising of God? Or is it just any old song that, you know, comes on the radio or whatever? Usually what Jesus says, whatever comes out of there, that's where you're living. That's what you're putting in, so that's what's coming out. So he says, if you put more of me in than anything else, what's going to come out is me. Okay? I believe that's what he's talking about. He says, don't live in the world. Don't even give it the time of day. What he's saying, because if we spend all our time in there, whatever it may be, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that attract us, that distract us from God. But the more we spend over there and indulge in that and allow that to fill it, let it be our Holy Spirit, the more we're going to have the fruit of the sinful nature, because that's what we're filling ourselves with. So first of all, we need to seek God, however that looks. For me, when I first got saved or when I first came to the Lord, I remember I used to just sit, you know, late at night. I didn't know anybody. When I came to know Christ, all my friends left me because they thought I was nuts. Okay. I didn't know anybody in the church. I was pretty much all by myself. And as I look back at it, it was a very good thing. Because it allowed me, every time, you know, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, I would just turn my stereo on, put some praise music on, and just sit in the middle of the floor and listen. And an interesting thing would happen. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit would come in, and he would begin to speak to me. And he would begin to teach me. And he would begin to make known who he is to me. And pretty soon, that's all I wanted. The voice, all I wanted was that voice. I didn't want all the other stuff. And you see, for me, when this started to happen, I took all my music that I had gathered up for all those years and all that stuff, and I placed it in the garbage dump. Okay? Now, I'm talking about what I did, because the song of Jesus was so strong that did nothing for me anymore. And he began to bring healing to me. And the more I just sat in silence, sometimes we just got to sit down and shut up for a while. Just allow him to come in. We're so busy spouting off our wisdom, okay? We're so busy telling this wrong, that. Jesus, sometimes he just relax. Sit down. Allow me to come in. You know, we need to, you know, have some time to yourself each day. Whether you have to get up in the morning or after everybody goes to bed at night or whatever, sit and just ask God to come in. If we don't ask him to come in, he says, you do not have it because you do not ask. It's just as simple as that. Lord, I give you this time for you to come in here. Heal me of my whatever's going on. And I found that voice, that Holy Spirit, not only spoke to me when I sat in the middle of my floor. If somebody ever came in, you know, pitch dark, the music's going, they turn the light on, I'm crying all over the place. You know, this guy lost it. But I found that as my life progressed and my relationship with God increased, that he would do that any time of the day. I could be at work. When we lived in BC, I used to be a maintenance electrician in a particle board plant. And I wasn't that old, Lord. I'd only been known him for a couple of years. But I would be working, and he would just begin to speak to me. Or I'd be walking around, and I'd start singing praise songs. And I would start to cry sometimes with everybody around. And I remember the other Christians that were there telling me, are you crazy? These people are going to think you're nuts. And I said, I can't help it. He won't leave me alone. He speaks to me constantly. I can't believe what he's done for me. See, when Jesus came and healed me, when I reached out to him, see, the image in my mind is I was just in the mud up to here. I was almost done. I was almost drowning in it because I had nowhere else to go. And the moment that I called to him, he just didn't sit there, well, come on out of there. He jumped right into the mud. He picked me up. He took me to the bank. He cleaned me off. And he healed my wounds. And he said, I will love you forever. That is what inspires me. I can't get enough of him. You know, so there's been times when I've gotten away from that. There's a song we used to sing quite often. It kind of goes, it says, take me back. Take me back, dear God, to the time when I first received you. We need to go back to that simple time when it was just me and him. There's all kinds of reasons in this world today that we are going to have turmoil. There's all kinds of things going on out there. If you read the word, he says the end days is not going to be a pretty time. Whenever, you know, end days, they've been saying the end days since the apostles were around. But he says that it's going to get ugly out there. And then he says to those who stand. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean we stand and, you know, gritting our teeth and, I'm going to get through this. Lord, come back, please. But he says we can stand with the fruit of the Spirit, with the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, regardless of the situation, because we have allowed him to come in. And I don't know how many people are here today. What, 200, whatever it is. To every single one of you, it's going to look a little bit different. To each one of us, our relationship with God is going to be a little different. Things are going to touch us that don't, you know, you tell me about it, you, oh yeah, that's nice. But he knows how to touch you. He knows how to get into your heart and break whatever it is that you're dealing with. We need to get into the world, find out who we are, what we're supposed to be doing. You know, a lot of times we live our relationship like there's nothing we can do. We just sit here, okay, God, send down the puppet strings and take me wherever you need me to go. He says, you decide. And don't get so caught up. Some of our problems are we're so caught up that we're going to miss the will of God that we're just frozen with fear to make a decision. You know, a job opportunity comes up. We say, oh, I don't know if I should take this. Is it God's will? Should I? And we should pray that. I'm not making light of that. But we get so concerned when God's sitting there, that sounds like a pretty good job to me. I would take it. Freedom. It's not that big a deal. You know, we're concerned, oh, what if I don't find that exact person that God has for me for marriage? You know, first of all, you're not going to find that perfect person. And secondly, God says, find somebody you like. Make it work. Go for it. You know, he has some things in there to watch out for. Things you probably shouldn't do, should watch out for. But he put us on here to make decisions. But we still have to think. You know, we still have to make a living. No, he says, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. So if you don't want to work, go hungry. If you want to work, find a job you like. Provide for your family. You can minister for me there just as easy as anywhere else. You know, Got this opportunity to go on a mission trip. Gee, I wonder if God wants me to go help people. Yes. Go for it. Try to simplify your walk with Christ. But above all, find out what he wants for you. Find out whatever it is that strikes that chord. You know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You know when he's touching you. You know, and if he's telling you to tell somebody something that you think is just completely crazy, it probably is, do it. But what if I'm wrong? It's not the first time you're wrong, probably. Probably won't be the last time. But you'll never know, you'll never experience it until you do it. Because fear of man, and there was a sermon on this on Friday when we went to the meetings, fear of man freezes us. Because once we're more afraid of what they're going to say than what God has asked me to do, we're putting ourselves in a dangerous place, because now we will hide our gifts. And there's all kinds of teachings about gifts and all that thing, but to feel free to use them. So what I believe the Holy Spirit or God is asking me, or I feel prompted, however you want to put it. Some people get freaked out when you say God's speaking to me or whatever. I feel prompted is just to ask the praise and worship to come back up for a few minutes, if they don't mind. And they're just going to play. Now you can sing along with them, or now you can just stay seated. And what I'd like to do, as they're playing the song, there's no power in the song itself. It's just a song. But it's a song that you know, talks about Christ and his role in our lives. If you're going to say, or just contemplate on it, just lift it up as to the Lord. And I want you to ask him this question. I mean, we're free to ask God questions. What I want you to, or even this statement, what I want you to lift up to him, what, if God was right here, right now, which I believe he is, at least I hope he is, in his spirit, if I could ask him anything, anything at all, what do I need? And I'm not talking about, oh, $2 million would be nice. For my personal life, for my personal relationship, is it freedom? Do I need to forgive? Do I need to forgive myself? Can we ask, oh God, what is holding me back from you? Because he has said he will answer you. So as they play, just think about these things. Just lift up to God. If you're struggling, lift that up. Because I can't help you with that. I can direct you, but it needs to be the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray a prayer of closing, but if you need prayer, you know, the Word talks about the laying on of hands and praying for things that you're struggling with. Asking for the Lord's help, agreeing with other believers is a good thing. So if you need prayer, we're going to ask that you come up after we pray in closing. But if I were to counsel you on something for this week, just make it a point to seek him. Don't come with anything. Oh, I'll do this if I want, I need this, I want... God, here I am laid right before your throne. Remember, we can go right in there. Right there at his feet. There's no curtain. There's nothing there anymore. We need to understand we are able to go right to the feet of God and just lay there and lay it all out. You know, he doesn't even mind if you get a little ticked off a little bit. But he wants to know your heart. don't pretend, because he knows where you are anyways. You're struggling. God, I'm struggling. Lord, I'm struggling with sin. It's holding me down. And whatever, make it a point to just go find a quiet place, whatever, to do, driving in your car, and ask him to reveal himself to you. And don't quit until he's there, because he will not turn away from you. You ask him to come, he will come and heal you. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you that you are a loving God, Father, that you are all that we need. Father, that if we turn our entire self, our body, our soul, our spirit, you will bring healing to us. So, Father, I pray for each person here today, Lord. I pray that not a single one who is here would not hear you this week. For those who are struggling with things that just seems like they cannot overcome, Father, grant them mercy. Father, bring healing in their hearts. Let them see you for who you are. Let them know that this is not forever, but you can overcome this. So, Father, help us to be a people who rely on you fully. Lord, let your spirit reign throughout their households. For those who need financial help, Lord, we just pray a financial blessing this week. For those who have sickness, we pray healing. For those who have heavy hearts, we pray for the fruit of the Spirit. So, Father, as we go about our ways and do the things that we're going to be doing this week, help us to focus completely on you. And then give testimony of your goodness and how you healed us. In Jesus' name, amen. He said, if anyone wants prayer, we have people who can pray for anything, whether it be healing or just seeking God, feel free to come forward.